Scripture comes from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a palace of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." That night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Whenever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest from your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. Let us pray. O Lord, who has given us a kingdom that lasts forever through Jesus Christ. Thank you again for this season of the year when we can remember your faithfulness to your promises. Help us to hear again today your promises and cling to them, hold to them for hope. We just pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. It helps to remember that the Christmas story is filled with individuals who have plans, only to find out that God has other plans. Take Zechariah and Elizabeth. While they may have not completely given up praying for children, they're also probably trying to be realistic about their increasingly bleak prospects for any offspring. But an angel shows up and changes all that. A baby boy is on his way. They're to name him John. He'll play a great part in the dawning of salvation that God is preparing. Then there's Joseph, whose plans are shaken by the news that Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And Mary herself, whose plans for marriage and what's ahead are upended by an angelic announcement that she will give birth to Israel's Savior. These are just some of the primary examples in the scriptures of people who envision things turning out in a certain way, only to have God show up, intervene, and turn things in a different direction for greater purposes. I think that King David also fits into this pattern of those who yield their plans to God's plans. In today's text from 2 Samuel, David has a grand idea to build a fancy temple for God. God has delivered Israel through turbulent times and situations of all sorts. So why is it that David is relaxing in a fancy palace while the Lord is residing in a tent? So David goes to the prophet Nathan and summarizes his vision for taking God's house to the next level. And Nathan endorses what David proposes. Everything appears to be set to proceed. But, and notice how often in Scripture there is that but that night, in this case, God speaks to Nathan and tasks him with bringing David back down to earth. Turns out that David has become so focused on his own ambitions and his own plans that he has lost sight of how God has always been present with his people in all sorts of situations in their journey, and that God hasn't been tied down to one place. Wherever his people have gone and journeyed, God has gone and journeyed. God, it turns out, doesn't mind taking up residence in a humble tent, in such a modest dwelling. His presence, the accomplishment of his purposes, these kinds of things don't hinge on God having a fancy dwelling place. God will be God, working out his saving will, and he'll do that in ways that often aren't impressive to human eyes and human perceptions of things. In fact, rather than building God a house, David learns that God's going to build him a house. Not a house with four walls. The Hebrew word for house can also mean dynasty. So God says that he's going to be present, he's going to dwell through the family line of David, which includes Jesus as we move further along in the story. So God keeps his promise by eventually becoming present in human flesh in the form of Jesus, the Messiah. I think that in this year when we've spent more time than ever in our houses, it helps us to remember that God has always been a God who dwells, who knows plenty about dwelling. Jesus is God's primary way of taking up residence among us, which means that we, in one sense, become the temple, the dwelling place of God in our lives as believers, individually, in our life together as believers in the church. We become the dwelling place of God. So rather than focusing on our plans, which we often do, but how much have we learned this year about how our plans can quickly get disrupted and changed and altered? Instead of focusing primarily on our plans, which can be greatly disrupted, what matters most, really, is letting God move forward with his plan to dwell among us and be with us through Jesus Christ. And the good news is that he's still been doing that in all kinds of ways, even during and including these turbulent times that we've been living through this year, in ways that we may not have anticipated, ways that we may not have perceived, ways that we didn't recognize. God has been present, working, taking us and assembling us in different kinds of ways into a house that's a dwelling place for his presence, a house where he comes to live. It turns out that each one of us can be a building block in this house that God is constructing. And each one of us, as we come together and contribute our lives and our voices to the witness to what God has done in Jesus Christ, we can tell this story again. We may be telling it under different circumstances this year, but the story hasn't changed. We tell the story of how God fulfilled his promises in sending the Messiah to establish an everlasting kingdom to dwell among us through Jesus Christ. Each of us can be a block and a voice in the telling of that story. So this year, under different circumstances and revised format in a way, let's tell that story again. Lois?